Alrighty, welcome back to the Tank Me Later podcast, which is part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network and in association with the Old Man Squad. I'm your host, Noah Rubin, as always. Today is another episode of the Rookie Report, where we will talk about five rookies and how to value them in dynasty leagues, usually going with some rookies that have played well recently. So before we do that, let's hit some intro music. And as much as it pains me to not sit here and just talk about Dyson Daniels for 30 minutes, we do have an agenda to talk about rookies, usually on Fridays, but it's happening on Saturday this time because I got lazy. But there will be time next week, either on this show or on the Roto World Q&A or Roto World Fantasy Basketball Show. Plenty of Dyson Daniels propaganda. Do not worry, that will be coming. But we're going to talk about five rookies. And, you know, per usual, I'm going to start by plugging my most recent article, which was the first dynasty column that I've done for Roto World, just strictly breaking down a specific rookie. I've already done a couple. The first one was on Dyson Daniels and then one on Christian Brown. And now I did one on Ryan Dunn. So I'm just going to show this real quick. I don't think you can technically see the link on where to find it, but under the Roto World page on NBC Sports, or you can just find it through my Twitter or my Blue Sky account. Here it is. So it's talking about, you know, a little bit of what he did in college, why I liked him coming into the draft, some of the offensive things that he's already done that have been major improvements over last season. I went into a little bit of playmaking, kind of stretched out one pass and made it seem like, oh, this guy has a lot of playmaking upside. So we'll see if he ever gets that opportunity to showcase that. But it's not because he can't. It's just because he doesn't. And then talked a little bit about his defense. So, yeah, if you want to read that column, use some pretty good stats. I don't think it were quite as advanced of stats as some of the other columns because it's harder to pull for rookies because it doesn't look as good. It's not as fun to talk about when, you know, there's a few that they'll be, you know, third among rookies and like that's cool. But some of the Dyson Daniels and Christian Brown numbers made it look a lot prettier. So they were more fun to use. But we will now pull up Ryan Dunn's tab and take a look at some of his numbers. So this season, 18.4 points per game, or excuse me, 18.4 minutes per game, 7.4 points, 2.6 rebounds, half a steal, 0.6 blocks, 1.5 threes. Now, if you were paying attention pre-draft or anything like that, and we're looking at who fantasy analysts like, dynasty analysts like, and like how they projected them, how they projected Ryan Dunn was, or even just like general draft analysts, this guy's an elite defender, one of the best defenders coming to the draft in recent years, but the offense is such a liability that he just simply might not be able to be on the floor. Like, we've seen guys that just can't do anything on offense get played off the floor at times. I don't know if they can't do anything else at an elite level, or if they're just such a negative on offense that it doesn't matter. Ryan Dunn played two seasons at Virginia, and I think, let's see, he shot 20% on threes during his sophomore season. I'm trying to see if I have this number really quickly, but let's see. I thought I had it right here in this column. Maybe I forgot to add that in. That would be pretty interesting of me to have done, but yeah, shot 20% on threes, barely hit any shots, was just really bad offensively. I don't know if anybody paid attention to his season at, or I guess his second season at Virginia, where they were just an atrocious offensive team. But the defensive numbers made up for it. He averaged 2.2 blocks and 1.3 steals. I don't remember his exact block rate off the top of my head. I didn't include it in the column, but that was something that was very appealing to me entering the draft, was that, okay, this guy could be incredible at getting some stocks in dynasty leagues. And if he can at least be like a little bit average offensively, then we might be cooking here. And it might be something where he's incredible in nine cat leagues. Just good enough offensively to be on the floor so that he can get the defensive stats well. Been quite the opposite so far. So in their game last night, just, you know, since this is live and as updated as possible, played 25 minutes, 9 points, 5 rebounds, a steal and a block, which is only the fourth time this year that he's gotten one of each. But it is the second time in a row. And in their last four games, he has 3 steals and 5 blocks. So kind of, you know, getting better with the defensive numbers. Started all four of those. Shot 1 of 9 from 3 last night, which is not great, but he had hit 2 threes in each of the previous 2 games. But the fact that they feel comfortable with letting this guy take 9 threes per game, or 9 threes in a game. I'll pull this up while I'm talking about it. But, I mean, like I said, he hit 20% of his three-point attempts last season. And keep in mind, this is against a very good Thunder defense with no Bradley Beal, no Kevin Durant, Devin Booker struggling because he's the focal point of what the defense is paying attention to. All right, I have it now. I don't know why. I guess I didn't include that in the article. So that's kind of annoying that I didn't do that. But he shot 35 threes in 34 games his last season at Virginia and made 7 of them. So, and he took 9 last night. He only hit 1, but the fact that over the last 2 games, he's taken 16 threes, like, that's encouraging that they feel comfortable enough to let him do that. So the offense and the, like, he's been, I mean, it's been all just catch and shoot threes. I think he has 1 or maybe just 1 that he put the ball on the floor and then shot it and hit it. It's been pretty much all catch and shoot threes, and that's okay because that's all he needs to be on offense. And the defense, the numbers are coming. I referenced this in the column because, I mean, we've seen the numbers getting a little bit better in recent games, but he's still just playing very good defense. Let's see, they played the Thunder last night, so this won't impact any of that. But I think 2 matchups with the Kings, 2 matchups with the Clippers, 1 with the Lakers, 1 with the Sixers. DeMar DeRozan, in when Ryan was guarding him, had 6 points on 3 of 9 shooting. Harden had 13 points on 4 of 13 shooting. LeBron had 2 points, missed all 4 of his shot attempts, turned it over twice. His 2 points were at the free throw line. Paul George, 1 of 4 for 3 points and a turnover. I mentioned in there that Luka has 17 points on 4 of 8 shooting with a good bit of free throws in there when Ryan Dunn is guarding him, but talking about a rookie guarding all NBA scorers, like, that's okay. He's been very good defensively. So that's been a lot of fun. The stocks will come. I'm not too concerned about that. They'll be there eventually. But right now it's just been such a development to see him knocking down threes that I'm very excited about what he's going to be doing for the rest of the season moving forward. I discussed a little bit of his outlook and what it could look like long-term, trying to project situation, which is borderline impossible in the NBA because of how long or how quickly things change. But barring any major changes, kind of what that could potentially look like. All right. Let's see here. So we'll move on. So I got 4 more rookies to talk about. Probably won't be take as long for them just simply because I want to keep these at 30 minutes. And I went a little bit more in depth on Ryan Dunn because wrote the column, but we're going to look at the guy who is now leading rookies in scoring this season, and that is Jared McCain, who has kind of benefited from a lot of injuries in Philly. I mean, we've talked about some of the Memphis rookies, like Jalen Wells specifically, how he's benefited from injuries in Memphis. Same can be said for Jared McCain. Started their last 2 games, has scored at least 18 in 4 straight, at least 23 and, or excuse me, at least 18 and 5 straight, at least 23 and 4 straight. In his 2 starts, he has 1 game, 34 points, 2 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals, and 6 threes. And in the other one, 29 points, 1 rebound, 4 assists, 5 threes. That was last night in a loss to the Magic. You know, benefiting from no Tyrese Maxey in his first start when he had 34 and 10, that was with no Embiid or Paul George either. So while it was, I mean, good to see him do that by himself with, like, no other superstar there against the undefeated Cavs, like, that's a really good sign. But he also did benefit from taking 26 shots. Like, he didn't shoot a bad percentage, but the usage was a little bit higher than it normally would be when everybody's healthy. And then Kyle Lowry is still in the starting lineup, but Jared McCain started with him last night and replaced Kelly Oubre in the starting lineup. So Oubre pushed to a bench role after kind of being a permanent starter for most of the season. So previously, when Jared McCain got his first start, it was because Paul George and Joel Embiid were out, and then it was like, oh, you know, we'll keep rolling with this guy. So Jared McCain seems like, barring a maybe a massive drop off or just like a situational thing, seems like he's going to be a starter for the rest of the season, which is very good for dynasty managers that have him rostered. I don't expect him to continue to average like 30 points and five threes, but it's a nice little stretch for him to kind of solidify his spot in the starting lineup. When the team's healthy, it's hard to even imagine him averaging, like, I think best case scenario would be like 13 to 15 points with three threes. So in redraft leagues, I'm probably looking to sell high here. I'm trying to see if I can remember how long, I'll try and pull that up here, how long Maxey's going to be out. So let's see. The most recent update was from 9 days ago that I'm seeing, and then he'll be reevaluated in a week. So let me see if I can find a better update than that that can tell us a little bit more about when Tyrese Maxey might be back. Because I mean, he'll still be really good. And just, yeah. So, okay. So this is a quote from last night, Tyrese Maxey during the broadcast. I feel really good. I should be out there sooner than later. It's from Sam DiGiovanni, posted that on Twitter. Maxey could be back within their next few games. They play on Monday in Miami, and then at Memphis on Wednesday, Brooklyn on Friday, Clippers on Sunday. So 4-game week coming up. Might be a good opportunity to sell high on Jared McCain, because I think a lot of people were very low on this rookie class, myself included. That hasn't changed, but so seeing a rookie play really well, it's almost like, oh, like maybe everybody was wrong. Like, this guy's actually really good. And like, I think he'll have a good career, but 30 and 10 and then 29 and 4 with 5, like, that's not sustainable. So maybe in redraft leagues, try and sell high a little bit. I think if you were going to get him in a dynasty format, it's going to be very difficult. You'll probably have to overpay at this point. And I don't know if it'll end up being worth it. I we'll see. But I think Philly's gotten off to a really slow start this season, but if they can have a starting lineup of Maxey, Jared McCain, Paul George, and then I guess Caleb Martin alongside Joel Embiid, and Embiid can get back to being Embiid, because that hasn't been the case, they should turn it around. I mean, I don't think anybody's fully expecting them to miss the playoffs, but it's been a really bad start. So, but they'll get hot. They'll figure it out. But yeah, Jared McCain, been very, very good. All right, so we got three more guys to talk about. Let's switch this over, see which one we're going to talk about next. We'll talk about Alex Saar, who I wasn't planning to talk about until after last night's game against the Hawks. So while I'm pulling up some of his numbers, he's been very good defensively this year. And then the offense has been a little bit iffy, a little bit wishy-washy, inconsistent. But so this season he's averaging 10.5 points, 5.9 rebounds, 2.2 assists, 0.9 steals, 2.4 blocks, and 1.3. So all that looks great. For a rookie playing 26 minutes per game, a 7-foot rookie playing 26 minutes per game, that all looks great. Maybe you'd ideally want more rebounds, but those counting stats look very good. The issue has obviously been the percentages. 36.5 from the floor, 71.4% from the line, neither is good. And, oh, the reason he's hitting a three per game is because he's shooting almost five of them per game and hitting 21%. So that doesn't look great, but those are things that'll improve with him just developing as a player. So I'm not too concerned about those right now. But last night against the Hawks, 9 of his 20 points came in the last, like, 6.5 minutes of the game when the game was already over. But since it was the NBA Cup, they were still all playing their starters to worry about the point differential a little bit. So this was against starters. It wasn't like it was against the last guys on the bench, but 20 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks, 3 threes, made 54% of his shots. The points, the threes, and the steals were all career highs. So yeah, it was a very, very good game. The first three that he hit was like a tough corner one with Clint Capela closing out very hard on him. So it was a pretty good look. I kind of turned it off when the game got to be like a 30-point like lead for the Hawks or 25 or whatever it was to watch some closer games. But he ended up having some buckets late, got it to be a little closer. I think so. He's had at least one block in every game so far this in his career. Two games, he only had one. Every other game, he's had at least two. And I think the appeal for Alex Saar to me was the defense, but it was more of his ability to switch and guard perimeter players. Like that was the number one thing to me. But that doesn't mean he wasn't going to be a good shot blocker. And I think that almost got overlooked a little bit. And maybe it didn't. And maybe I'm just the one that is saying that. And everybody else like, oh no, we were fully expecting him to block shots. He's an athletic 7-footer. And it's like, yeah, no, that makes sense. But I think it wasn't the most appealing thing to me. So it's been good that it's translated very well. I think better than I was expecting. I wasn't expecting 2.5 blocks per game at this point of his career in 26 minutes. So as he, you know, plays more, develops more, Washington gets a little better, perhaps he'll get over 32 minutes per game, and that might not be for 2 or 3 years. But at that point, we could see him getting over 3 blocks, over like a steal and a half. So, yeah, the early returns on Alex Saar are looking very good. The percentages, and I think that was one thing to me was like, yeah, that's probably gonna be an issue as a rookie, because I don't think he wants to be just like a role man, a lob threat, and you know that was kind of the thing early on when he's. I guess it was, I don't remember if it was specifically that he said it or if it was reported that he didn't want to play center, that he wanted to be power forward. Now he's been the center with the Wizards, but maybe it had more to do with how they were going to play him. And with the Hawks, probably would have been a lot of pick and rolls with Trae Young. Maybe that wasn't something he wanted to do. I don't know. That's just speculating. And the fact that he's been able to shoot almost 5 threes per game and it's been almost half his shot attempts. I guess like 40% of his shot attempts have been from beyond the arc. So a lot of freedom to shoot that. So even if they're not going in, but when it eventually goes in, it's going to look very, very good, both in the box score and just eye test watching the game. So yeah, it's been shaky. I think he likes to shoot not easy shots. He likes to, you know, do a little shot creation. I know he had the mid-range shot that he liked to shoot when he was playing for Perth last season. I haven't seen how many of those he's shot so far this year, but yeah, everything looks really good so far. I guess as far as what we were expecting, I was expecting poor shooting percentages and that's what's happened, but those are things that'll improve as he gets better, develops. Like he's 7'2" 205. He'll get stronger. So yeah, not too concerned there. Pretty happy with how Alex Hart's played so far. And we've got two more rookies to talk about. Let's see. This one will probably be kind of quick. Dalton Knecht has started twice now. He started last night in place of Rui Hachimura. And then he got another start earlier this few week and a half ago. That one didn't go well. Only had 3 points, shot 1 of 7. Not good. Last night had 14 points, 2 threes. The game before that, coming off the bench, had 19 points, 5 threes. Earlier this season, he had a game with 18 points, but for the most part, it's been a little shaky. But I think that was kind of what we expected from Dalton Knecht. Not necessarily, you know, the shaky shooting or the poor shooting, but that he was going, when shot was going and he was hitting shots, like he was going to look really good and he would be on the floor long enough to maybe get a couple rebounds, a couple assists here and there, which has been the case. But when he's not hitting shots, not really providing much in fantasy. So this season, 18.8 points or 18.8 minutes per game. I don't know why I keep doing that. 7.8 points, 1.8 rebounds, 1.2 assists, 1.5 threes, shooting 38% on threes, 46% overall. And he's made all 6 of his free throw attempts. So that's, yeah, Dalton Knecht's 9-cat game isn't going to be this well-rounded, dominant stat line. But when he gets going, he can hit threes, and he scored in double figures in 2 straight. So the last 2 games, 16.5 points averaging with 3.5 threes. And then, you know, last night, 3 rebounds. The game before that, 2 boards, 3 assists, and a steal. So, like, just being on the floor is a good thing, because then he can, you know, contribute a little bit here and there, but that's not really what he's providing for the most part. It's mostly going to be living and dying at the 3-point line. So yeah, playing on the team that he's currently playing on, he's basically just going to be a floor spacer, and that's okay right now. You know, LeBron probably only has a couple years left. So in the hypothetical scenario that Dalton Connect can continue to develop, get better, and maybe have some real relevance consistently in dynasty leagues moving forward, it'll probably take a couple of seasons, but by that point he's already 25, 26, like entering his prime. Like if he continues to just work on his game and get better, like sure, like that could happen, but I wouldn't be banking on him turning into a star, which I don't think many people were expecting him to. I have one friend that's a Tennessee fan that he's still expecting him to, but for the most part, just going to be 3-pointers when he gets going. That's how we can expect from Dalton Connect. So like I said, that one's going to be a little bit quicker, and hopefully we can get a little bit more out of this one. Donovan Clingan. If you missed it, he had a big block game the other night. So he, let's see, started their last two games, both against Minnesota, and it was like back-to-back nights, both home games. And then they'll play again on Sunday. The first one, played 21 minutes, 4.6 boards, a steal and a block. Meh, not great. That was a game that Robert Williams ended up playing really well, kind of limited Clingan's minutes, as well as some fouls. But then next night, same team, played 31 minutes, 31 and a half, it's almost 32, 17 points, 12 boards, and 8 blocks. That looked a lot better. So he, just like Sarr, has had at least one block in every game that he's played, and he's played significantly fewer minutes than Alex Sarr has, just 15.8. I actually don't even know what I was reading to see 24.5. 15.8 minutes per game, averaging 2.1 blocks, 5.7 points, 5.5 rebounds, 53.7% from the floor. He's made 83% of his free throws so far. He really hasn't shot that many. I actually don't remember. Let me see if he was a good free throw shooter in college. No, he wasn't. 58.3% from the free throw line. So that's very encouraging that he's hitting free throws, even if it is a very, very low rate. Now, I'm sure once he starts playing more minutes consistently and he gets the free throw line a little bit more, that like that number would probably regress, regulate a little bit. I don't expect him to go from a 58% shooter to an 83% shooter just going from college to the NBA. So, but if he can have that kind of this season stay in like the 70s, like that's pretty good. But obviously you're making your money here with a really good field goal percentage and then getting rebounds and blocks. And then when he's getting the easy looks, getting some points there as well. He's, let's see, what is this? He's shot a few threes. He's 1 of 5 this season on threes. And I think that was something where it's like, if he can develop an outside shot, and that doesn't mean he's going to be like knocking down threes all the time, like averaging 2 a game, but just to be able to space the floor a little bit, that's something we'd like to see him continue to develop, just add a little bit to his game. That way he's not quite as limited. But we know he can be a pretty good passer. He hasn't done that really yet, but he showed it a little bit in college. So yeah, excited about what he's done so far. And I expect that as the season progresses, they open up more and more minutes for him. DeAndre Ayton missed their last two games and Robert Williams missed the last one. I assume that both would be trade candidates at the deadline, especially Robert Williams, if he continues to play this well. Which could mean that Clingan is the starting center by February. So that's pretty exciting. So redraft leagues, if he's still starting, you have to stream him. I wouldn't say that, like, once Ayton and Robert Williams are back, if he's back to playing a bench role, that you like have to stash him, but he's going to be very, very good the last couple months of the season, kind of playing an expanded role once Portland's kind of out of the playoff picture. Because they're, I mean, they're only a game out of the play-in tournament right now, but I think as more games are played, that'll slowly get worse and worse for them. So that's going to do it for this episode. I'm not going to try and continue to drag it on just to get to 30 minutes. You can follow me on Twitter at NoRubin22, on Blue Sky at NoRubin22.bsky. Whatever their thing is. Don't love the handles, but kind of like everything else about the app. If you like these episodes, let me know, please. So I feel like I'm not just talking into a void about a few guys, that if you're enjoying this or like it, let me know. If there's any player, rookie or non-rookie, that you'd want to see me talk about, let me know. If there's anybody that you'd want to see a more in-depth column on, let me know that as well. I have a list of guys, but I'd be happy to pivot and talk about somebody specifically if anybody was interested. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Tank Me Later podcast, and I will see you guys next time.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.